like that one.
Susan Schmidt.
You like it, Susan?
I like that one.
Susie Sunshine.
I liked all of them, though. Their variety is nice.
Brought to you by DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. She is managing her money here. And this is a this has got a weird week. Susan Schmidt of Westwood in Dallas for the Dow, would you say?
Very unusual week because we had a lot of different things. So the setup for the week was not good because remember last Friday we had the rough jobs report where the number was very low. No one was expecting that. Mm-hmm. We came into the week. We're still seeing some earnings reports from companies and those have been mixed. Not bad, not good. They're just kind of fair and that's fine. But what we really got last night was a shock because there have been polls. So you've heard of Brexit. So that's all about the UK leaving the European Union. Mm-hmm. They haven't voted as a country on that since 1975. So the current Prime Minister Cameron, that was part of his campaign platform, is you guys will get to have a voice in this once again. And that vote...
That's a mistake.
Well, you see what voting does.
Right. Have you seen what happens here?
Exactly. When I think the polling is kind of what we're seeing here. The polling has been very erratic. So people didn't expect them to have any desire to leave. The majority thought that, you know, they're going to stay. The markets are not prepared for them to leave. And numbers came out last night on one of the polls that said actually it's kind of probable that they might exit the European Union.
10-point favored leaving, 55-45. And the vote's like in a couple of weeks.
Right. So the vote's on June 23rd. And it's going to be very interesting. So that is not in the markets at all. And that was a little bit of an upset today. And then on top of that, we've got problems in Europe. Europe is not doing very well. So
what does that mean, not doing well?
They're just economically, they can't get it back on track. So they're still like wallowing in recession.
They're not showing consistent growth
aren't coming back. They're not showing consistent growth. They're not showing an increased consistent GDP. So relatively speaking, we're doing pretty well. They're still mired down in a little bit of a mess.
But isn't that good news for us in some respects? Well, I mean, at least for the financial markets?
In some respects, it's great if you want to travel to Europe because it means the dollar is strong and the euro is low. Hmm. And so you get more for your money. But overall, we'd like to see the whole world be healthy because you don't want to be the only one that's got an economy that's moving forward, because then you have to drag everybody else and carry everybody else with you. So we're hoping that Europe is better. Draghi came out this week and was talking about supporting the interest rates, keeping it low, supporting the economy, chastising member nations for not doing enough. So all of that is another sign signaling to the market, Europe really needs more support. That's pushing interest rates down. So that was the big thing. You know, interest rates are going down, and suddenly we have two states of the market. We have risk on, where people feel great about investing and they want to buy. And we have risk off, where they fly away to safety. So that's when utilities do really well, treasuries do really well.
Well, they did well until Donald Trump said he was going to renegotiate the deal.
That's true. Extraneous events.
Maybe take a little haircut. You never want to hear the word haircut and T-bond ever in the same sentence.
Never. That's never a good thing. Never, ever.
Unless you say the guy who gives me haircuts is going to buy a treasury bond. That would be the only thing. Mm-hmm.
So we've seen that. And when interest rates are low everywhere else, people are looking for safety and they're looking for yield. And right now, we still have some yield in our market. And I say that because Germany, 10-year, you can buy 10-year paper for the German government, zero interest. Zero interest. Zero. You're just parking interest. It there.
So, why would you want to park it there?
Why would you?
Well, big corporations, sometimes you need to hold cash. So there's an issue with being in Germany. You might want to have that as your cash vehicle rather than just having it sit in a bank, which can get costly. The problem is that it's showing that there's a huge demand. So this is all theoretical, right? There's a huge demand for safety. And so when bond prices go up, because people are buying them, the implied interest rates on those bonds comes down. So what we're seeing when the implied interest rates come down is that people want safety. I need to move my money. It can't be in the market. I've got to put it somewhere, and it doesn't fit under my pillow or under my mattress. So I'm going to buy treasuries, we would say U.S. treasuries, but German bunds, and I'm going to just park it there until I feel better about the market and what's going on.
How do you liquidate it out of it? Aren't those also time instruments like they are here?
Well, they are, but you can. There's a fluid market. It's not like I have to hold it for 6 months. You could sell it at any point in time.
Yeah.
So it's a very fluid market, and that's also one of the attractions where you might see differences of demand on corporates. So today, someone might want to buy Coca-Cola bonds, but tomorrow, maybe not so much. Government bonds always have demand. That's very steady. So that's the most liquid vehicle you can go into.
All right. So I guess what I want to ask here is, why is it if Europe is having this little tumble here, because they've lost about a third on their on the euro exchange, right, in the year, the last 52 weeks, they're down about 30%. Isn't there a flight to safety here in the United States? Isn't a lot of foreign money that would be sitting in Europe, whether it's European money or Asian money?
Yes, and that's why. So not only is it we have foreign money sitting everywhere. Internet money these days is very international. So just think of it flowing in big waves across the globe to wherever is most attractive. And right now, the U.S. is most attractive. So that money is coming out of Europe. And as those interest rates go down, they're looking for interest rates here. Our 10-year treasury is at 1.6 to 1.7% interest. When we started the year, it was at 2.25% interest. So it's come down. And that means that expectations...
Because there's been so much demand
for it. Exactly. We thought we'd be able to raise interest rates. The interest rates would be increasing. It's gone exactly in the opposite direction. Not because of the economy here in the U.S., but because of the economy internationally. So the money is flooding into the U.S. for the safety and security of U.S. bonds.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe I kept up with that conversation.
I think I did.
Hey, you didn't fall asleep, bro. I'm impressed.
What does the investor do in these times? What kind of guidance can you give people? Just, you know, you're feeling a lot of volatility this year. There's a lot of things going on.
And we've talked about that. So there's more volatility to come. Remember, we have this big election coming up. We have more news.
No, for God's sake.
I know. Bro, we'll never let you
forget. Don't bring
that
up right now.
Exactly.
I'm sure we'll get to that.
So it's going to be a very volatile year. You've got not only our elections, but here we've got Brexit coming. So we've got the vote in the UK.
And that's coming up next weekend, right?
So June 23rd.
23rd.
So we have some outside dynamics that are rocking our markets a little more than normal, given the circumstances of the year. So ride it out. Don't let this rattle your cage. Look long term. Be prepared. You're going to see volatility. It's going to continue. There's really nothing here that you can do. Most people and most corporations, pension funds, institutions, as they invest, unless they're super huge, stay focused on their own domestic economy. You don't need to worry about whether you should own German bonds or U.S. treasuries. U.S. treasuries is still the best place to be. Don't panic or shift stuff over this long term. Think about your long term investment plan. That's what you want to stick with. And just recognize you've got some bumps up and down, but they're all head fakes. I mean, ultimately, this all settles out.
I have a question, and I remember from high school, they said there are no dumb questions. And then when I would ask them, like, that's a dumb question.
Or later everyone would laugh.
Right, exactly. Now, don't laugh at him again. He's going to be in radio. He'll be fine. Why is there a 0% interest rate on the German treasury note when they're having trouble in Europe? I mean, wouldn't there be a flight away from that, and wouldn't they have to be selling that at a higher price?
Well, think about within Europe, Germany is actually
Germany's the best place.
The best place to be. Yeah. So German bonds.
Yeah. Where do you want to be? Portugal?
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
You know, yeah. Portugal may not be the best place.
Slovenia?
I like Turkey.
Greece, mm-hmm. not such a good idea. So,
sorry, Anna.
I know.
Germany is a good place to be. That's kind of why when we quote these things, we talk about the big currencies and the places where we've seen big demand. So Germany really is the hallmark for demand within the European Union. As that money flies somewhere and wants safety, you look at the German market to see what's going on. Okay. We also look at Japan. Now, remember, the backdrop here, which is ongoing for Japan, is they are trying to stimulate the economy. They introduced negative interest rate policies.
For 20 years, they've been trying to stimulate their economy.
Right. It's not working so well. So the negative interest rate policies, that was very controversial to the market. It's not clear if those have been effective or not. But Japan, on the other side of this, has zero interest rates as well for the retail. So for the investor, the day-to-day retail investor, they're not getting interest. The whole goal of the Japanese government right now is to try to stimulate demand. So if you're not going to make money on your savings, hopefully you're going to spend it. And that's what they're trying to drive you to do.
Okay. Stay right there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the transcript of this last 15 minutes and figure out exactly what it was that was said. And then I am going to come back.
We can make cliff notes for you.
I'm going to put this all together in my own head. In other words, are you the American markets are a safe place to be right now?
American markets are definitely a safe place to be. I would argue that they're actually the best place to be globally because we have the best market, the best economy. We also have the best rules and regulations around it and the best transparency into how our publicly traded companies are operating.
Well, then we are going to come back and we are going to hear maybe what sectors or maybe even specifically if you have an idea of like what kinds of companies might be a good place to be. Can we do that?
I like that.
We can do that.
All right. We'll do that with Susie Sunshine. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas is here in Chicago today discussing this with me and you and Anna. And
We promise you'll get better.
It's
going to
take you some time to
get over this.
All that.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask Violetta to actually take a test coming up right after she
does
the WGN Traffic Travel Spot.
Susie was 9 and I was 10. Right at the time when boys like to think they're men.
This is bad when we had to pull out the ABBA.
I love ABBA.
Susie Sunshine is here. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas. All right, so I promised that you were going to tell us about, as you look into the summer, people want to continue to invest in the summer, not necessarily stay on the sidelines, or want to know what's going to be safe over the summer and this volatility, which you think is going to emerge here between the conventions and the election, right? Would that be accurate?
Right, and it's not even emerging because we're seeing it. This is not like it's going to be something new. I'm just saying it's not going to settle down.
Got it.
So this is going to continue. And
so, what do you think are safer sectors versus less safe sectors?
Well, safe sectors have been and typically are utilities, REITs. We're looking at things that look like bonds. So they offer some sort of coupon, like a dividend that acts like an interest payment. So people have been very attracted to those sectors. We've seen them have great runs over the last couple of years. So historically speaking, they're actually a little bit expensive when you look at it. Mm-hmm. But they've become bond proxies because people need to find something that's going to give them an interest payment. Energy is still an area to be careful in. We've seen a nice rebound in oil. In fact, I think we've finally seen the bottom on the rig count. So the rig counts have been, we've been shutting down rigs and slowing production, and we finally have bottomed out here around 414 rigs. And that looks like that set a base, and we're staying stable in that $48-$50 per price of barrel of oil. And I think that is going to be more stable. But remember that energy always volatile. We have Saudi Arabia doing some very interesting things within OPEC and within their internally. Saudi has made a big push to say that they're going to be more diverse in their economy and in their platform for business.
Oh, good luck with that.
Right. They made that investment in Uber we were talking about last week.
Exactly. So they want to get away from being an oil-dominated economy, which is kind of crazy because it is Saudi Arabia, but they've got this 20-year plan.
But don't they have to have domestic capability for that? I mean,
trying to build it. Remember that these guys have money flowing everywhere.
But they will not be an international tourism destination, and they're not even a very friendly international business destination because of the very onerous cultural rules that exist there that Americans and Westerners and Asians don't really want to live by.
Women can't drive, for example, which was the other thing we were talking about with the
alcohol.
Uber thing. There's no
comedy is illegal in Saudi Arabia, in the kingdom.
Right. So it is a little oppressive in some respects, certainly by our standards, our cultural standards. However, within the Middle East, it is a place that's reasonable to travel to. And the Saudis have a lot of money to invest. So they're right now, they may even have more money to invest because they have their own, the Saudi oil producing business, if you will, if you wrap all of that up, Aramco is going to go public. So an IPO, they're going to take a small piece of it and put it out in the public market. So they still maintain control. The estimate on this is it would be the largest IPO, so initial public offering, ever to have happened.
Wow.
There would be $1 billion in fees alone to the bankers to bring this out. And it would value the total enterprise at $2 trillion.
That's how much.
Those are huge numbers. Those are just huge. Really, even for me, it's like, wow, how many zeros is that?
Mm-hmm. So that would make some people in Saudi Arabia immediately the richest people in the world, right?
Well, in some ways, because of what they have as resources in the ground, they already are some of the richest people in the world. It would monetize them and give them a way to get some liquidity. What they really want to do is, because that's owned by the country, they're going to take that, take the money, and put it into infrastructure projects. So this is where they're building out the rest of the economy and the infrastructure for more.
All right. Susie Sunshine, thank you very much. Hang out for the rest of the day because God knows what's going to happen here.
Yeah, you never know what could happen today. Canarbawagon is going to roll at some point.
Oh, and I always enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. I would like you to put together a 10-question quiz for me, Anna, and Violetta.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
How many trillion do I want?
What is Kanye West worth? All right, all of that coming your way. But first...